What is up, everyone out there on the internet listening to this? My name is Eric Davis. I'm a contributing editor here at Fandango. I am the one with the New York accent, so you can remember that as you listen to this. I am that guy. Joining me is another contributor to Fandango, Sean O'Connell. You'll probably see both of our names down there in the little blog. If you don't read it, you should read it. What's up, Sean?
What's up, Eric?
Nothing much. Sean has like a North Carolina esque accent, I guess.
Yeah, sort of.
But you're from New York, aren't you?
I'm from New York, but I've lost my hard-edged. Like, I can say water now, which is fine. And but I don't have like a twang that I think of. I'm not sure.
You've lost everything.
Yes, I'm just generic man now.
When you come back, the city is probably it stalks you.
Yes, I had New York pizza yesterday, which was really, really nice.
The accent creeps up on you. I mean, speaking of New York, what we're here to talk about today is a New York veteran, I think, at least cinematically, Detective John McClane, played by Bruce Willis. He stars in the new Die Hard movie, Die Hard 5. It's called A Good Day to Die Hard. It hits theaters on Valentine's Day, which is Thursday this year. And you can buy your tickets at Fandango. Go there right now after you finish listening to this. But, I mean, specifically, what are we here to talk about today, Sean?
We're here to discuss whether we think Die Hard with a Vengeance or Live Free or Die Hard is a better Die Hard sequel. I think we both agree that there's no arguing the first Die Hard is the best of the films. And then you and I were surprisingly in tune with the fact that Die Hard 2, Die Harder, is also a great sequel. But there's so many people who have been voicing their opinions lately saying that With a Vengeance is the one that is probably closest in tone and execution to the first one. Whereas I think With a Vengeance is such a hot mess that I even like Len Wiseman's Live Free or Die Hard much, much better. And you were so annoyed by that you said we have to podcast this because there's no way that people can think that Live Free or Die Hard is better than With a Vengeance.
Exactly. I thought you were insane. frankly, I thought you were insane. And it's a good thing you don't still live in New York because the city would hate you forever. No, but I mean, yes, that's what happened on Twitter. I felt like I could not believe my ears when you were saying Live Free or Die Hard was better than With a Vengeance. With a Vengeance for me personally is a film I feel deeply about, especially the fact that I'm from Manhattan, so you can understand why that film resonates with me a little bit more.
Well, and I've found that's the reason why a lot of people, most of the people who are telling me, oh, it's With a Vengeance, are from New York and they feel this deep connection just because he happened to shoot on the island of Manhattan. And that doesn't work for me. It has no magical charms on me. So I see the huge gaping plot holes that John McTiernan literally drives a dump truck through.
Okay, well, so let's debate this. What we're going to do is we're going to debate the two movies in three categories. And then Sean has seen A Good Day to Die Hard, and we'll talk a little bit about that at the end. We're going to debate With a Vengeance versus Live Free or Die Hard, three categories. We're going to do story, characters, and action sequences. And at the end of the debate, at the end of this little podcast, we're going to have polls at the bottom, and you can go vote for who won the debate, myself or Sean. And then we'll also put a poll in there, and you tell us what your favorite Die Hard movie is. Maybe we'll even do your favorite Die Hard sequel, because I think it's unfair. I think if you ask somebody what their favorite Die Hard movie is, mostly everyone is going to say the original Die Hard.
Yeah, how do you not vote the first one, obviously?
Yeah, so maybe we'll ask you instead what your favorite Die Hard sequel is in line with the sequel that's hitting theaters this weekend. So with that said, let's start. Story.
Okay.
Vengeance versus Live Free or Die Hard. You go first. Why do you think the story is better?
I'm gonna somewhat attack With a Vengeance in just saying that I think the story was incomplete. They didn't really know which story they wanted to tell. And I've done a lot of research into this. I've listened to McTiernan's commentary. I listened to the screenwriter's commentary. And, you know, they never really decided what they wanted to do, whether it was supposed to be a heist movie where they're stealing the gold out of the Federal Reserve, or whether they wanted it to be a vengeance picture where Hans Gruber's brother, you know, was going to get back at the cop who dropped him off the skyscraper. And so the way to merge the two of them together and to make it into a Die Hard movie was to take this pre-existing script called Simon Says and make that protagonist into John McClane, and then say essentially massage it into a picture that could work as a Die Hard movie. And I think that Frankenstein meddling never really gelled into a finished picture, because I think each of the stories in With a Vengeance feel shortchanged. The heist never really clicks in the way that a really good heist film should, and the Vengeance storyline never really clicks because, for the most part, Jeremy Irons has so many opportunities to leave McClane off the hook, and he doesn't seem so hell-bent on getting back at him for what he did to Hans Gruber. I'm not saying that the story in Live Free is great, but I do like the idea. It got back to, for me, it got back to the idea of there's a terrorist who has a massive plot. He's unaware of McClane, and in this case, it happens to be the takedown of our country's economic system, all of our technology, our internet, a fire sale where a hacker, Gabriel, Thomas Gabriel, is going to use his code to take down America's infrastructure. And McClane has to be the person who's bold enough and, you know, bullheaded enough to stand in his way. And that's a factor that I think is really, really important to being a Die Hard movie, is that, you know, the villain doesn't plan on McClane. He doesn't willfully goad McClane into the plot. You know, McClane just happens to be there. He's the wrong guy at the wrong time, and he's the person who won't go away no matter how hard the villain tries to eliminate him. And that's to me a huge characteristic of a Die Hard film that I thought With a Vengeance was missing, particularly in the story.
You make really good points, Sean. You do. Because I do.
It's over.
you make some great points. I do feel that With a Vengeance, I do feel shortchanged with the ending. The ending to With a Vengeance is always what holds me back from making it my favorite sequel, because I do feel like they get out of Manhattan with those dump trucks and they just don't know what to do from then on. The endings, in the cave, I like the stuff on the boat, but after that, it just kind of falls apart. It doesn't fall apart enough for me to not like it more than Live Free or Die Hard. What I like about With a Vengeance in the story is that in terms of a franchise and in terms of a trilogy, I like how they bring it full circle, where now we have a villain that does know who McClane is, and it adds a different layer to the series itself, and it adds sort of a personal connection there. I like how Jeremy Irons is Hans Gruber's brother, and that he's coming after Bruce, and I like how they add Samuel L. Jackson in there. Now it adds a buddy cop scenario that really it is present in the first two, but now it's even more to defined as a buddy cop, because they two of them hate each other, but they need each other and they have to work together. And that's something that what wasn't in the Die Hard movies before that. They also add a female villain into the mix who's a little bit exciting. We hadn't seen that yet. So it kind of gives us that familiarity with the Die Hard franchise. It gives us a different layer to it by giving us a villain that is familiar with McClane. Mm-hmm. Different villains, a female villain, and I like that aspect of it. Die Hard 4, I felt like that story was a bit of a mess. Yes, I like the aspect of John McClane attacking a villain who's doing something that he doesn't even understand. He's out of the loop in terms of hacking and all that stuff, and that's why, of course, he has to go to Kevin Smith to save the day. But
Kevin Smith aspect hurts my argument.
It does. It does hurt your argument. We'll get to that when we get to characters. But yes, in summation, that is why I like the
I will say something nice about With a Vengeance. Having revisited it earlier this week, they do a lot more with McClane and his detective skills in terms of him figuring out the gold bar heist a lot earlier, and it forces him to sort of switch gears and pursue that. And I like when they show McClane being a really smart, ahead of the curve detective. And with Live Free, that's the beginning of the McClane's not so smart, but he's just not, he can't be stopped. You know, he's the invincible hero. And I don't find that as interesting.
I mean, that brings us to characters.
Yeah.
You know, I like the characters in Live Free or Die Hard. They just, I mean, in Die Hard with a Vengeance versus Live Free or Die Hard, they just have a lot more personality. It feels like a Die Hard movie. McClane in number one, he's sort of like a put together guy who is trying to get back with his wife and trying to mend this relationship that he has with her. In number two, you know, he you could feel that he's had the success of number one, that he's moving closer. They're really trying to make this work. Number three, the character has evolved into, like, it just did not work. He's a mess. When we meet him, he's a drunk. He's hungover. He's just a complete mess. He's in New York. They're in L.A. It's just not even going to work. And that's where we find the character in number three. And I like that the way he's evolved throughout the three films and where we find him in three. And he is John McClane in number three. I feel like he is the John McClane that we've known from the first two films. I don't see that in number four at all. I feel like they've stripped him of everything he is. Yeah, I mean, I just don't like him. In terms of Samuel L. Jackson, I think he's the best sidekick that McClane ever had throughout all of the films. I think he's great. He's got so much personality. I think the two clash heads in some really great ways, and there's a lot of great chemistry between the two of them. And then the villain, Jeremy Irons. It's hard to not like Jeremy Irons in a role. I think he's good. I think he's a diehard villain. He doesn't give you too much, but you want to have a little bit more there. If this is a vengeance, this is a vendetta against McClane, he does take it a little bit lightly. But like Gruber, I feel like on his mind, he wants money versus revenge. And if he can do both at the same time, then that's what he's going to do.
Well, and I have to admit, if I'm going to lose any of the categories here, it's going to be characters, because there are better characters in With a Vengeance than there are in Live Free or Die Hard. I mean, Justin Long might be a fine actor, but I don't need him in a Die Hard film. You know, they pull in Lucy McClane, John's daughter, because all of a sudden it's almost like a studio executive sort of thought, like, well, we have to get a family member involved, because the first two worked really well because he was fighting for his wife. So let's pull someone in. And this is a problem with A Good Day to Die Hard also, which we'll talk about in a bit. You know, the problem with parts three and parts four and probably from here on out is that I think it's the Lethal Weapon syndrome of that they just keep adding more people and new people and fresh faces when I never believed that McClane needed a partner or a helper at all. I think part of the reason why I like the character so much is that he is alone with his back against the wall, and he's the only one who can stand up, you know, to what's going on around them. He's the one guy who has the courage and the smarts and the willpower to be there, to be the last man standing, essentially. And so, yeah, I like his chemistry with Sam Jackson, but I never really wanted McClane to have a partner, and I certainly didn't want him to be partnered with his son, or I didn't want him partnered with a computer geek. And so that's always been something about the later sequels that have bothered me. But, I mean, when you have people like Jeremy Irons and Sam Jackson, they're going to be better characters. I think three and four got too spread out. Like, with four, McClane's bopping up and down the Eastern Seaboard. He's checking in with the CIA at different times. He goes to Kevin Smith's basement. With a Vengeance, we've got a whole nother subplot where the NYPD are trying to get kids out of a school. And I know Willis at one point was annoyed that whole subplot was going on, because he's like, here, we've got McClane stranded on a boat in the middle of the water, and McClane should be the one at the school rescuing the kids. We're too spread out. And I just think too spread out is a problem that really affected the sequels as they kept adding more and more characters. So
yeah, I agree. I agree with you there. I'm all for franchises trying a different approach. You know, I don't necessarily feel like McClane is a character that needs a partner. I like how the first two, he sort of has some assistance, but it's from afar. Right. He really is the man who has to save the day. And I mean, but I am for another sequel try. I mean, once you get to 3, 4, 5, you know, it's hard to kind of keep maintaining that same sort of the essence of the originals. And agreed. So I mean, if you're going to give him a partner, you know, Sam Jackson as an angry black man who hates his gut, you know, who hates McClane's guts, right, is amusing and fun to watch. And I do like how it does feel as much as widespread in three. I mean, four is completely, he's all over the place. Three, I still feel like it's their own, he's stuck in his own little personal hell. to a certain degree, and I until like that
until they fly to Canada.
Until it all goes down the tubes. As soon as they leave the island of Manhattan, that film just goes down the tubes. And I would like to listen to that commentary.
From great.
Tyrion. And it's just unfortunate because you bring him back to direct another Die Hard, and you feel like Willis is still there. You feel like the essence of that character is still there. They had an opportunity to really do something great there, and parts of that movie are really, really fun to watch, especially for someone who grew up in Manhattan. But I do agree with you there. And action sequences, you know.
All right, here's where I'm going to win. Yeah. So let's do action sequences because I'm going to stick the landing here.
Yeah, you are going to win this one. I will admit, defeat here because, and this will be my only shtick with action sequences. There aren't many in With the Vengeance, and that's one of its downfalls.
Yeah, what happened? I don't know.
I don't know. And it's funny. Before we had this conversation, I'm going through. I was like, okay, where am I on action sequence? We have the scene in the elevator. Right. Okay, we have that. And then I'm just like, we have the seat of the elevator. Okay.
The two main fights in With a Vengeance are over before they start. The fight in the elevator is like 5 seconds. And then later he fights Matthias Togas on the boat. And that's just, it's a bad cut where he's like whipping him with a chain and then it's over. Like all he really did was sort of knock him off his feet with the chain. And there's got to be a longer version of that fight somewhere.
It is. And the badass female fight, female on McClane fight that you wanted to see in Vengeance, you actually get in Live Free or Die Hard. And that's, I think, one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie.
It's a great fight. It's a great fight because Willis has this really funny, you know, under his breath sort of muttering of, you know, I've gotten knocked down before. I'm going to get up again. You're not getting away with this. It's a great fight. And I even like the staging of the tunnel sequence with the cars racing all around them. Not the car that hurtles through the sky and lands on the two digital cars. But before that, it's a pretty clever sequence. Len Wiseman gets a lot of heat for, you know, being a bit of a hack for doing his underworld movies. But he can really stage a decent action film. His camera moves around a lot. Now, again, we have a lot of problems with the endings of the Die Hard films because the end of Live Free, I can't defend it. I mean, he's jumping off the wing of an F-35 and he's sliding down a concrete barrier as, you know, fireballs are chasing after him. And I mean, that's when you start to point out that he's no longer this blue collar, vulnerable guy who could be in danger. He's just a cyborg McClane now at this point. But I'd still stand by the fact I think there are better, more memorable action sequences in Live Free.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like Live Free or Die Hard, it becomes an action movie. It doesn't become a Die Hard movie.
Right.
I think that's leading into 5, which I want you to talk about now. It feels like everything after 3 is an action movie. And I know when I do criticize Live Free or Die Hard, sometimes there are commenters that are like, what are you talking about? That's a good movie. Yeah, maybe it's a good action. Maybe it's a decent action movie.
Right.
But if you didn't kind of grow up with Die Hard and Die Hard 2 and you're not as attached to what makes a Die Hard movie, then yeah, maybe you can enjoy these movies. I mean, does 5 run into some of the problems that 4 did?
It does. And my big observation on 5 is that I think filmmakers now come to this franchise and try and make sequels to the immediate predecessor. And I don't think they are trying to make a sequel to the first one. You know, this one feels like the next step from the Len Wiseman one, which is ramp up the action, ramp up the insane stunts, despite the fact that McClane's gotten older and, you know, a natural action hero would potentially slow down a little bit more. He only seems more invincible than he ever has prior to this. And so every time I go into a Die Hard film, because I love the character of John McClane so much, I would love to get back to not a character study. I don't want to see like McClane at a, you know, Parisian table contemplating his life, but something that just develops a little bit more of the human aspect of the character. And I sort of feel that directors now feel like they can do a Die Hard film if it just has a lot of explosions, but you happen to have John McClane in it. And I think that's the wrong way to approach it.
Yeah. I don't, I don't know who's in charge of this franchise or what their thinking is with it. I feel like you could spend a lot less money on a Die Hard movie and get back to where the original was,
right?
And have it take place in a single location. And I feel like a lot of people would really enjoy that about it. But maybe they felt like the explosions and the big special effects sequences in Live Free or Die Hard is what sold people on seeing the movie and why it did well, and so they wanted to try that again.
Well, ultimately, this has to trace back to Willis. Doesn't he have to sort of – okay, like I think he's the last line of defense of saying this is the direction I want the franchise to go in. And I would love to have a chance to sit down and ask him about, you know, with the directors that he chooses, because – The last few sequels have really had the stamp of the director on them, whether it is McTiernan in Vengeance or Len Wiseman, and then with this one with John Moore, it feels like a John Moore film. But it all ties down to having Bruce Willis agreeing to be John McClane. And if he wants McClane to go in a certain direction, I think he's the one who could put his foot down and say, we're not doing it until we go in this direction. So
yeah, so we'll have to see how it does in theaters this weekend. I feel like they're trying to make Valentine's Day into, especially with it falling on a Thursday, it's kind of a big holiday weekend this year. Three movies on Thursday, one on Friday. What do you think about
that? And big one, Safe Haven, which I think is going to do really, really well. Nicholas Sparks has a loyal audience. It's getting pretty good reviews. I think Beautiful Creatures is going after the teenage audience. And clearly, even the people who are responding to some of the negative early reviews for Die Hard are still saying, well, I'm going to go see it anyway because they're just a fan of the franchise. And so I think it will do really, really well. But if they want to continue it, and Willis has said he wants to do a sixth part, I think it's time for a reinvention of some sort. I think it's time to – I'm not saying reboot, and I'm not saying a prequel or anything silly like that, but I think it's time to get back to the roots of what made the first one work. You know, the first one didn't work because of all the action. The first one worked because we love that character, and I think it's time to start focusing on that character again.
I agree. Part of me feels like Bruce Willis, a lot of what keeps him in sort of the pop culture consciousness are these action movies. And so I feel like to a certain degree, Willis maybe he feels like he needs to keep doing really action and heavy movies in order to remain relevant in some way. Maybe that's why he's greenlighting these. I would like to see Willis sort of take a step back and play an aging detective and play a McClane all these years later, that kind of finds himself in a very intimate sort of situation. Like
have him get Rian Johnson to come on board and do like a detective noir with an older McClane. Gosh, I'd love to see a small story like that.
It would be great. It would be great to see. Sean, thank you very much for joining me. Now, you can go down into the poll now and vote for who you thought won that debate, and also which Die Hard sequel you think is the best Die Hard sequel. Sean, thank you very much, man.
Always a pleasure, Eric. Thanks so much.
And we'll talk again soon.
Okay.
Bye.